This is where the Lord can get a lot of things accomplished in our lives, in our souls. I'm thankful that the young people in this body still appreciate this Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm Brother Green from Wichita, Kansas. I thank God for Little Rock hosting this meeting. We've certainly worked awful hard in preparation for us all arriving here. As Brother Smith said when he opened it, Brother Tucker, the founding pastor here in Little Rock, he had a burden for the young people. And then Brother Lineker, been some great men of God working this assembly. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Weiniger as well for his labors here. He loves young people, loves the Spirit of God as well. And now the Lord has worked out where Brother Smith is pastoring here, and the Lord's really working with this church. I'm so grateful for the Holy Ghost. You young people, when I was 16, I received the Holy Ghost and came into the body of Christ, and I mean the Wichita Church, we cut our teeth on services like this. We really looked forward to coming to church. We knew Wednesday night, you know, was going to be good service or midweek service, and then Sunday morning we knew Brother Molno was going to preach and plant the word, going to plow deep. And I've sat in many Sunday morning services with Brother Molno teaching that I would just get so excited I couldn't hardly stand it. Your soul just felt like it burst wide open from the revelations of the Word of God and the good things that this body of people has. Some other Sunday mornings weren't quite as glorious. When you're forced to look at yourself, you know, the Word of God is like a mirror. But those Sunday night services when the Lord would water down that Word of God, and it could really take root and grow in your soul. My goodness, we would dance. We'd dance through the soles of our shoes almost. That was in the early 70s, mid-70s when I first came in. Roll. Talk about holy roller. I was a holy roller. Holy jumper, holy roller, holy runner, whatever the holy you wanted, I did it. I enjoyed the Holy Ghost, and we're supposed to enjoy the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad. I go to a lot of churches that aren't in the body of Christ. I visit around a lot, have a lot of friends in the ministry in the Wichita area. And believe me, I don't know where we'd be if it wasn't for the strong covering of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then when Brother Michael Smith opened this service about being led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost was given 109 years ago. It fell in Topeka, Kansas. Hundreds of millions of people across the world have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now, young people of the body of Christ, you're living in a day when the Lord is really counting on us, you, to have the manifestations of that Spirit in your soul. The Spirit of God isn't something that's just supposed to be experienced when you come to church a couple times a week. You feel the Lord in your church service, you go home, and you don't feel it again, you don't experience the Holy Ghost again until your next church service. Those days are over. Being led by the Spirit, it's a lot about how you start your day. When you wake up in the morning and get ready to leave your house and start your busy day, whatever you have to do, we're living in a day where the Lord wants to be your constant companion through the Spirit. He wants to guide you, lead you, direct you, lead the right people in your life, and tell you when the wrong people are coming in your life. Amen. The Holy Ghost can protect you. It leads you. It guides you. And if we aren't getting ready, as Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Not just part of it, but the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation. If you don't start your day out with the right thoughts, how can the Lord meet you? The Lord loves those. He'll guide those that meet Him early. Some of you don't get up till the break of noon. But I don't think that scripture in Psalms means he loves those that meet him early, as far as early in the morning, just those that seek the Lord as soon as they get up, whatever time that is. Prepare your heart. Spend time with God. Spend time in the Word of God, with the Holy Ghost in your prayer life. The Lord, you can set your day up for spiritual victory that way. How do you know if the Lord meets you at 3 o'clock if you haven't got ready to set your day for Him to meet you sometime during the day? You'll miss Him. Does that make sense? He wants to bless you and guide you. The Holy Ghost is, when I first was saved, the first thing that I received from God was a revelation of the restored church. And when you're 16 years old, I thought it was going to happen in about 2 weeks. And I've been serving Him now for 30-some years, 34 or 5 years, 36 years. And we haven't got the church restored, as it was mentioned in this meeting. But above all, the young people right now, we ought to at least have the next generation knowing how to prepare your heart for the Lord to meet you and deal with you. Amen? I've had the Holy Ghost do great things for me in my life. And it's growing stronger. I thank God for that. 2 weeks ago, we had the Dallas church came up and visited us. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not embellishing at all. Someone said I embellish things, but I don't. I really hurt my feelings when I heard that. I went home and cried barrels of tears, but it was almost like, and those that were there can vouch for it, but it was almost like you could touch it, the Holy Ghost. It was so strong and so deep, just like it was here a little earlier today. Young people, we need it. Don't ever get embarrassed of the Holy Ghost. It's those manifestations. But let me say this. It's not a cruel thing to say either, but the facts are the Lord isn't dealing with everybody. You know that? I thought everybody would want what I got when I got saved. Man, I told everybody at church about the Holy Ghost, and they said, the holy what? I was amazed at the ignorance that the common person has when it comes to the things of God. I was in high school orchestra, and I would play when they would be drilling the strings. I'm in the back showing the brass section playing Give the World a Smile. Heaven's Really Gonna Shine. All those catchy tunes that I knew they'd just love. It didn't touch them a bit. I brought 10, 12, 13 friends to church. Nobody wanted what I found. They all had a lot of negative things to say about the church. They saw something I didn't see. That's how it is when God's dealing with you. You see things others don't see. You don't see what others do see. So, one night, I had two friends there. One friend was grabbing their soul going, "Oh, oh, wow." And the other friend had his face in his hand. He fell asleep. Now that shows you God isn't dealing with everybody. The one friend that was all excited, the Lord was touching, I married that friend. Thank God. 13th friend I brought to church. That's my lucky number. Most times. God doesn't deal with everybody. You ought to be thankful He's laid His hands on you. You should be grateful that He called you to be different. He called you to know the mysteries of God, the mysteries of holiness, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You've been called to understand those mysteries. Do you count that special? We should all count it sacred. I was called to the ministry when I was 19 years old. You know, that's a sacred calling when a man of God, when a man is called to serve in the ministry. It's sacred. We're living in a day when there's nothing sacred. Nothing means anything to anyone. Now our president even, I think the White House is an important house. It means something to me when I see a picture of the White House. But he's kind of discounted it down just to be a house you can drop by and, have a certain beverage and, just drop in and we'll have a casual time in the White House. It offended me, and that's my opinion. But we need to know what God considers as important. It should be important to you. And when you get called to serve under a minister, that's a sacred calling. Sacred, high value. Paul said without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Mystery of godliness. How does a person get godlike characteristics in their soul? When they transform from a creature that's earthly and selfish, transform into a person that's got the fruit of the Spirit in their life and they just want to bless others and be used by God. That's a mystery how that happens. But you've been called to understand that mystery. That's a high calling. Treasure it. Amen. And worshiping in the Holy Ghost like we just did here, that is precious. That is of high value. Treasure that. And treasure your pastor, your minister, anybody in the church that's laboring in the ministry. Treasure them. They've been added to your life for good. The early church, they were led by the Spirit of God. Everything they did, the Holy Ghost dwelt with them. It separated them. The Spirit of God told which men to go to what city, didn't it? You can read of all sorts of happenings. They're praying for Peter, locked up in jail. They're praying for him. Angel of the Lord comes and miraculously, supernaturally, lets him out of the prison. So he goes and he knocks at the door where everybody's praying for him. A little girl came to the door and she said, "Hey, Peter's at the door." And they said, "No, it isn't. It's his angel." They really weren't quite believing for God to deliver him, were they? He got out. They really didn't believe. Supernatural. That's what I want to concentrate on. I'm here tonight because I've had a series of supernatural events happen in my life. Really. The Lord intervened when he called me to the ministry. We were in Belfouche, South Dakota. I don't know, 75 or 76, somewhere in there. They had a big tent meeting up there. And one of the buses from California, they were seeing angels on the bus. And everybody was, the report went out, there's angels on the bus from California. So I ran and got on the bus and looked around. I didn't see any angels, and I about backslid over it. I don't see any angels on this bus. Before that week was over, we were staying at the school, sleeping in the school. Everybody had gone home, and we went back to Brother Giffen's little church house on a Sunday night service. Brother Gordon Littrell was up singing and the Lord called me to preach while he was up singing. I'll never forget it. You know how you go out to eat after church? We're getting ready to go out and eat after church and the car, and we left and a train, we were stopped by a train, and I told him, "This is it. I can't stand it anymore. I got to get back and pray. The Lord's dealing with me." But when I went back to the church, they dropped me off and left. I was there. The school was locked. I knelt down behind that old 51 Ford or whatever pickup truck Brother Giffen had the stack pipes on it. I knelt down behind the bumper of that pickup truck, and brother, let me tell you, I felt the presence of God. I felt a supernatural light shining around me. And I told God, "God, whatever I feel, whatever is standing over me right now, when I open my eyes, don't let me see it." That's how strong it was. I believe an angel was standing over me. You may not believe it. I do. I believe I had a supernatural event take place. And I went in that school. They came and I locked it. And I just fell to the floor. And I said, "Lord, I know you're dealing with me, but I'm so scared to you know, see angels. And here I was, first of the week, and running on the bus looking for them. Here I was at the end of the week saying, "No, I don't want to see them. It'll kill me." I've had a lot of people tell me, since I've been, you know, serving God in 30-some years, I've had a lot of people tell me they've had dealings with angels. I believe when you meet heaven and you have a supernatural event in your life, it changes you. I don't think you're ever the same when that happens. I open my Bible and I just, you know how you do? Lord, just show me. Just talk to me, Lord. Open my Bible to that. I think the third or fourth chapter of Proverbs about getting wisdom and understanding. Cherish it. It'll be more precious to you than rubies. Get wisdom in all you're getting. Get understanding. And I knew then that that was my call in life. We had people that had visions. They saw the Lord. They saw so many things. That is what is part of your life. That should be part of your experience with God. Supernatural. We don't serve Him because of them, but yet they belong to you and no one else. They don't belong to the unsaved. They don't belong to the people that aren't serious about their relationship with God. They belong to people who really want to be what God wants them to be in this day. Who knows what can happen before we leave here? I believe people received their healing up here today. I'm not talking about one arm that, you know, or leg shorter than the other, shooting out to the right length. That's a miracle. A healing, God can put something in place in your life, in your body, that is lacking, and the healing process can start in your body. Amen. I believe that. I believe in a lady that came up here and prayed for an asthma condition. I believe it's going to improve, get better, and she won't be dealing with it much longer. I believe that. The healings, they belong to you in the body of Christ, the church that Christ is the head of. I hope we never lose that vision. But look, one time Paul was going, I think he was going to go to Jerusalem, but Agabus got up and took his girdle, wasn't it, tied it around Apostle Paul and said, "Don't go. If you go, they're going to bind you. They're going to arrest you." That was a manifestation of the Spirit of God. So many things. Another time, Agabus, he prophesied of a drought that was going to hit. So they took up provisions for the men, for the church in Judea. They took up provisions for it. And that's what belongs to His church. The Spirit of God leading. The Spirit of God seeing what can happen in the future. And intervening for His people. So they aren't left judged with the wicked, judged with the ungodly. Amen. I hope that's important to you. Being led by the Spirit. If you're jealous, if you're angry with someone, it's impossible to be led by the Spirit if you've got aught against your brother. Jesus said, when you come and offer your gift, and your brother has aught against you, He said, leave your gift there and go to your brother and get it taken care of. Isn't that right? Because that will hinder you being affected, being touched by the Spirit of God in your daily life. It's impossible to be led by the Spirit of God when you're worried about something. We're to stay in prayer until that worry leaves. I teach the saints in Wichita at night, especially before you go to bed, pray until that grip leaves you. Because if it doesn't, and you go ahead and go to bed, all the negative forces, devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, they're going to go to work while you're sleeping. You get up the next day, it's going to be bigger than it was the night before. You can pray until that release happens in the Lord. Thank God for faith. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God if you're plotting against someone else. Amen. Thank God for people who know how to let Jesus fight their battles for them. And if you think it isn't something to learn sitting in the pew, wait till you get in the ministry. I know there's a lot of young men here called in the ministry. Put that calling first in your life and Jesus Christ will take care of everything else. He'll send you the right young lady to be your lifelong helper. It's like He did mine. Thank God we're still friends. I married my friend there and we're still friends. We just had our 33 33rd anniversary. Praise God for that. That doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. Thank you. Living in this day, I thank God for a spirit-filled wife. An example of how to fight the good fight of faith. My life helper that when things attack her, okay, when people attack her, I'm glad she is an example of charity. Because a man, he wants to rush to his wife's side. He wants to slay all the dragons and, you know, pull out the sword and beat her knight in shining armor. But she says, honey, wait. Before we do anything, let's pray. I'm thankful for a helper like that. Amen. One time we had a guy, you know, quit the church. He sang in our quartet, and he was gone for several months. We have cooking teams that rotate, well, I guess a couple of months, because it came his rotation to be on his cooking team to be in the kitchen, and all of a sudden I got the report that he was back there in the kitchen just like nothing ever happened. And a tape recorder went off in my head. A tape recorder of E.L. Molyneux. How he would have handled that situation. Are you with me? Are you with me? And that felt right. That was my reference point of what to do. Right? We all have reference points, don't we? How we were taught. As I left the sanctuary and went out the doors of the sanctuary to turn and go down the hall to the kitchen, with this tape recorder going off of my head, my wife stopped me. She said, I know that look on your face. Don't go down there like that. Like what? What do you mean? She said, honey, let's pray. Think, what would the Lord do in this case? I thank God for a helper like that. He was about to have his head lopped off. But as I walked down the hall, that Spirit of the Lord just came over me, and I just got teary-eyed. I walked up to him. I didn't say a word. I just hugged him and held on tight for a few minutes. And the Spirit of God did the rest. Thank God. I don't have to tell you, he was at the altar Sunday night. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? Being led by the Spirit, there are things that are so automatic. And if you love Him, you know, are you one of those people that care? A lot of people in church don't care. But thank God for the people who do care. Who take it serious, they were called to the church. You're the one that gets your feelings hurt all the time. Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't. But because you care, you want to see the church, things done right in the church. You want people to have the right attitude in church. Well, believe me, we're nowadays, the Lord is expecting us to be led by His Spirit and do things right. Amen. We're running out of time. It's a dark world we're living in. You and I think we know the level of sin that's in the world, but we do not know how deep sin has become in this world, because we're in the church most of the time, dealing with God's people. Isn't that right? But it's a dark, evil, evil world. Let me add this. Young men, listen to me. You need to be gentlemen at all times. Amen. If you're in the dating scene, if you feel like the Lord has led a certain young lady to be your helper, your wife, be a gentleman at all times. I had a company for 33 years. I've been full-time in the ministry now for about 3.5 years. This man went to a church in Wichita. They advertised as the friendliest church in town. I was going to do that, advertise as the friendliest church in town on the radio, but they beat us to it. I didn't think the second friendliest church in town sounded too good. So I went ahead and let them have it. But he went to that church. Good man. Good Christian man. Do you know what he talked about all week long? What his pastor preached on Sunday morning. Whether we were busy, if he was bugging me in my office, that's what he talked about. He loved his pastor. And he knew when that pastor brought a message, it was from heaven. That's what he talked about all week long. And I got thinking about it. You know what? When I was 16, 17, and 18 years old, no, I got married at 18, 15, 16, 17 years old, you know what we talked about all week? You know what we went home from church on Sunday morning and talked about when the guys hung out together? The sermon. We went over the sermon. We got the Bibles out and we compared notes to make sure we had that subject down pat. If we did play basketball or football, we didn't spend a lot of time in that Sunday afternoon before we were going over, really understanding what the beast was, what the future events were going to be, the things that separated us, what was the difference between the way God built and the way man built. We hashed those things over. We went over them and we went over them. And then we'd turn on gospel music. Amen. I feel the Lord just touch me. We turned on gospel music. We didn't listen to anything else. And we didn't. There was something about us that we were delivered from that. Praise God. But this young man called me. We worked together 19 years. Then I went to the ministry. But he called me. This is Friday. I left Wednesday. He called me Wednesday morning. Or Tuesday. Tuesday he called me. I answered the phone. I said, hello. And he just busted out crying. He said, Gary, I'm calling you from the courthouse. My son Chris is in trouble. And this man was so precious to me when my kids were in trouble. He always gave me hope. Don't you worry, Gary. We're praying for your kids. That old devil's going to be defeated. He is a precious man. And he touched me and I said, Carl, I'm going to pray for your son and God's going to deliver him. I didn't know the facts. I said, you stay in there. He said, the jury has been selected. Trial starts in the morning. I remembered all those times he encouraged me. I said, Carl, I'm going to get a hold of God. Don't you fret. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get others to pray. Your son's going to come out of this. He called me Wednesday morning and said, there's too much evidence. He's gone. He's going to be gone. This is going to affect him the rest of his life. Well, I got a phone call on the way here yesterday. Was it yesterday? It's Thursday. I got a phone call Thursday. And when I said hello, he said, you're not going to believe it. And I said, oh, yes, I am. But what he was in trouble for, young men, listen to me. You need to be a gentleman at all times. It's a different world we're living in. I'm not going to give any facts. I'm just going to say, keep your hands to yourself. You can wind up in prison. You can wind up having to register for the rest of your life as an offender to society if you aren't careful. It only takes an accusation. But I know God delivered that young man. And that young man told his dad, you know, they were starting to bargain and the attorneys were saying, do this, do that. And he said, I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell the truth. I was there. I did not do what that girl said I did. And thank God the Lord let him off. Hoping it get out of the track here, the vein of thought. The Lord's expecting us to be pure and clean. Being led by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Lord expects you young people to be led by the Holy Ghost. You can't do it if your mind is on things of the flesh and not on things of God. That's an obvious statement. But there are too many people. I sit in that office day in and day out. People bring things to me and I'll say, have you prayed about it? And they will want me to comment on the other person bringing the offense. But I got a good lesson when I was a teenager, and that is, if that other person that's brought the offense, if they aren't present, don't say anything. Don't talk about people that aren't there that can hear you. I don't ever do it. I say, well, we're going to concentrate on your reaction, your response to that person that's brought the offense. That's what we're going to talk about today. And here's what you're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Are you ready? And I make a point to make a plan for that person. I don't tell them, is that what that person did? Well, you know what I do to that person? I don't do that. We talk about how you can be led by the Spirit. People are going to bring the offenses, but woe to them that bring them. Don't you know the Lord wants to protect you? He said it would be better than a millstone be cast around their neck. They'd be cast out into the sea than what's going to happen to anybody that offends one of these little ones of mine. You know, I just took that to heart. I believe that. And He will. He's fought my battles for me. He wants to fight your battles too. So the Holy Ghost isn't something you feel, experience in a church service. It's a way of life. It's the very nature of God. It's powerful. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, if you'll get on your knees, close your eyes, and get in that closet, get in that safe place that the Lord told us to get in when we prayed, He will start supping out your nature and start adding His to you. Amen. Get up off your knees and then go start your day and wait for the Lord to intervene for you. Thank God. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost today. Healings. How many healings have we had in Wichita in the last 2 months? I mean, people get this report and then they take x-rays and MRIs and they, whoop, it's gone. Well, whoop. How about that, Lord? Whoops. The Lord showed up. There's no whoops about it. He's our King. He's our Savior. You dedicate your life to Him. Hallelujah. He'll do supernatural things for you. That's what He is requiring out of His people. I personally, I've studied and I've come to this conclusion. I don't even think a church service is for the believers. I think the church service is for the unbelievers. I think when we get together, there should be such an explosion, celebration of all the goodness of the Lord to us, that unbelievers come in and say, wow, that's what I've been looking for. And have so much strength in the Holy Ghost, addictions can be broken. Brother, if you got new people coming to your church now, you've got a more than a 50-50% chance they're probably addicted to something. Amen. I hope our churches have enough of the Holy Ghost. We can break the power of sin in people's life. There's something more powerful than drugs now. Men especially are addicted to. Pornography is eating this nation alive. It's eating the world alive. But there's food addiction, every kind of addiction, and people are probably fighting something, and it's up to us to have enough power of God in our services to get them delivered. Amen? Amen. I hope it'd be a shame if we didn't have enough power to get people delivered from something. They can pick it up later. It's up to them. But we should have enough God in our services to help people break these things. I believe that. So you're living in a day when God wants us, the Holy Ghost, to be paramount in your life. And the way you start your day will determine how you end your day. I believe that with all my heart. So I thank God. I've just bring nothing but good report to you. We came and visited Brother Smith. The saints here in Little Rock have been doing so much work around here. I was prayed, and while I was praying one morning, the Lord said, fill your bus and go to Little Rock. I didn't want to fill my bus and go to Little Rock. I had other things on my mind. It would not leave me alone. So Brother Smith called me and he goes, Brother Green, the Lord dealt with me. You're not going to believe what He laid on my heart. I said, don't tell me you want me to fill my bus and bring it to Little Rock. That's exactly what I want. We're going to have a meeting and I hope you could come. Yeah, Lord beat you to it. We had this little 3 or 4 year old girl. She was really excited to be on the bus. And she called her dad. She said, "Daddy, guess where I'm going?" I said, "Where are you going?" She goes, "I'm going to Rock On." She couldn't remember Little Rock. She going to Rock On. So I hope we keep rocking on here this week. Next day and a half, I hope the Holy Ghost does something special for you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for His presence. I got up here to receive the offering. If you would prepare your checks, please. At this time, we'll receive our expense offering here. Let's see. I heard there were 670. Is that what you said? 625 people here. That's a lot of chili dogs. That's a lot of stuff to pay for. So what do you say? Let's help them. All right. Ushers, if you'd go ahead and do what you normally do. Make your checks out to First Gospel Church. Right? And, yeah, we take cash too, sure. All right, God bless you. Yeah. Yes, let's have a song. Thank you.
thankful to be here today, to feel God's covering, to be among this so great a people. You know, it's been a wonderful day. It's been a wonderful 2 days. You know, been under the covering of God. You know, I'm just thankful to be here. I'm Joseph Ritchie. I'm from Russellville, Arkansas. Had to specify which Russellville. Sitting with Brother Jackson over there. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. I'm thankful for people who pray. And people who really love God in sincerity of heart, with integrity. You know, it's a precious thing to be among God's people. It's the most beautiful place we can be here today. I'm thankful for it. You know, I was glad when they mentioned that we were having a Little Rock youth meeting. You know, sometimes, you know, people in the local area, we can't make every meeting. You know, we can't make very many at all. And so it's a precious thing around here when we get to make a meeting. You know, not always finances and jobs will allow you to make the meetings that are further off. You know, we sometimes are privileged to go to Mount Carmel. But every time there's a Little Rock youth meeting, we're here. We bring as many people as we can. I enjoyed Brother Green's message. I enjoyed his spirit. You know, he enjoyed the Mount Carmel we got to. Brother John Peach was saying, you know, we don't need to get a sports car or anything like that. It'd be better that you buy a bus. And bring many of God's people that you can with you. You know, we can't always afford to get a bus, but, you know, we try to get vehicles that we can fit people in. And I appreciate the teachings of the body of Christ. I don't want to recant for the Word of God. I don't want to back up. I don't want to slow down. But I'm here to serve God and His people. You know, I want to be steadfast. You know, I've heard messages and things that touch my heart, that changed my life around. You know, I don't want my ears tickled. You know, I want this old beast of mine laid on the altar. I want it nailed to the cross. You know, we face things in this life, but we can have God with us. You know, I've got so many things on my heart today. You know, which direction to go? Which direction to go? Where do you want to go, God, in this service today? But I want to yield over to the Spirit of God. You know, make room for God. And I'm just thankful to be here. I know that, you know, like Brother Green was saying, you know, what we have here today is wonderful. That we can come here and we can live for God among His people. But you know, there's something more that we're required to do from God. We're to live this life in front of other people who may not agree with you. They may not like you for the stand you make in your life. You know, this is a dark and dying world. You know, they're people that love darkness rather than light. You know, so they're not going to like you for the stand you make. But you can have God there with you. You know, as we're showed through the New Testament and the Old Testament, that picture of God being there in the fire with the Hebrew children. You know, we have God with us in the things we go through. He's a God that's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You know, He sees what we go through in our life. He knows what we suffer. Anything we go through, whether it be a physical condition or we're having a cancerous in our spiritual life. You know, God knows what you're going through. He can touch you. He can strengthen you. There ain't nothing that God can't do. You know, hey, there ain't no sickness that this in this world that God can't heal. You know, if you're afflicted by a mental disease, God can heal you. If you're afflicted by a physical cancer or anything else, God can heal you. There ain't nothing that God can do. If you're here today, you're among a special people. God has called you to be here today. He's called you to be here in the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God called me to the body of Christ out of millions of people. Millions of people He could have called. I'm here among this people tonight. You know, but we're here to live a message. Not just, it'd be easier to preach it. Just to talk about it. But what really means something when you're living the Word of God. When you're putting the things in practice that the ministry has taught, that saints have testified about, to live that life. You know, it's not, you know, well, I got to go out in the world to get my testimony. Yes, you do have to go in the world to get your testimony, but not to be of the world. We have to be in the world, but not of it. Not to do the things of this world. You know, people try to convince you to go in the excess of riot that they go into. But you don't have to do it. You don't have to live that life. You don't have to, you know, conform to the world, but we're to be in the image of Christ. You know, Christ was in, the world was so dark when He came. It was so dark. You know, there are all the systems that just outward. But He had something inside of Him that turned the world upside down. And I don't want to be afraid to witness. I don't want to be afraid to stand for the Word of God. You know, sometimes you may get that fear in your heart. You know, what are people going to think of me? What are they going to think of me when I dress a little different than they dress? When I behave myself differently than they behave themselves? You know, I don't want to be a part of the fashions of this world. You know, I can't put, you know, my Holy Ghost inside me. You know, I can't dress the way I used to dress. That Holy Ghost inside of me just... I'd feel naked if I dressed the way I used to dress. If I behaved the way I used to behave, the Holy Ghost would smite me in my heart and say, that ain't the way God wants you to live. That ain't the way God wants you to be. But God is coming after a people who have made themselves ready. You know, not partaking of the things of this world, but we're here partaking of spiritual fruit today. Getting the things of God, getting strength in our heart. I'm thankful for the brotherhood. I know that I stand here today, unequipped as it seems, compared to the men of God that are on this platform. But I do have something to say to God, something to say today for what God has done in my life. He's done wonderful things. He's done miracles in my life that I can stand and say thank you. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, the people of God who prayed and encouraged. I love this brotherhood. I love this brotherhood with all my heart. You know, I was excited, you know, to be in the presence of God, but not only to be in the presence of God, but to be among my family, to be among my friends. You know, you don't get to deceive, you know, the people here as much as you'd like to. You don't get to talk to them enough. It never seems that you can talk to the people of God enough. To have that good, sweet fellowship. You know, there's something about the people of God that just deals with your heart. That you know that you can talk to people out in the world and try to endeavor to show enough light that maybe they'd see something different in your life. Something that they might crave. Something that they might want in their life. There's something genuine. And I love that word, genuine. That means real. That means real. I don't want to be a put-on show Christian. But I want to have something real in my life. Something genuine in my life that might touch someone else's life. You know, I don't want to, you know, come to the end of my life and never have touched anyone's heart. Never have witnessed to someone's heart. But I want to come to the end of my time whenever my time is. You know, and having done all that I could do, having done all to stand. I love that Ephesians 6. You know, Brother Green tapped into that. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it by our mind or our intellect. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the Holy Ghost working and living in your life. Not just when you come to service, but when you wake up in the morning, when you're on the job, when before you go to bed at night. You know, we're to have Him with us wherever we go. We should be able to speak in tongues just in a few seconds. But you know, if you can't speak in tongues in a few seconds, tarry. Tarry until you can. Tarry until you can feel the presence of God. Until you can feel Him talking back to you. Until you can feel that life of God stir once again in your heart. Because we need God. We need God in this world. It said if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So what does that mean? You know, that there would be so great a deception in this world that, you know, your eyes might drift. Well, they're doing this. And, you know, they say they serve God. But, you know, we're to have a reality with God. a reality, not to be deceived by anything that comes our way. Oh, that sounds good. Yes, it may sound good, but does it line up with the Word of God? What part of that does it sound good to you? Is that sounding good to your flesh or your spiritual man? You know, I know there's a death that's got to be transpire in my life. You know, part of me's got to die and the other part's got to live. I want the part that the Holy Ghost to thrive in my life. I don't want it to be a smoking flax, but I want it to be a vehement flame in my life. I want it to be burning bright. You know, I don't want to just be zealous, not according to knowledge. I do want to have a zeal in my life, but I also want to have the approval of God in my life. I need God more than anything else in my life, more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing. You know, I need the Lord, and we all do. We need each other. You know, I just appreciate, you know, the growth in the body of Christ in our local assembly in Russellville. You know, we can feel God compacting us together. You know, God has been so good to us. He's been so good to us. How can I not speak of His love? How can I not speak of His mercy and all the things that He's done for me? I appreciated Brother Justin Beck, right? I appreciated your words today. You know, that was good. That was good. The Lord was in it. You know, we can feel that, you know, God is going to do something wonderful and is doing and has done so many wonderful things for us. You know, there's a time in my life where I was down in my back. You know, I didn't see no way out. I'd broken my back left vertebrae when I was in the seventh grade. And when I was 21, and I was working 24, time just slips by on you. I'm not that old, but, you know, but anyway, it's not too many years ago, maybe a couple years ago, something like that. And I was beginning to where I couldn't even work. My back was so much pain, it was even hard to walk. You know, and we were praying, and, you know, people said, you know, you're going to get a healing. You know, and I believed them. I believed that I would, but they were somewhat slacking in my belief. You know, it's just like that man prayed. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" He says, "I believe, but help me with my unbelief, Lord. Help me with the doubts that I'm having." That my boss had finally told me, he said, "You know, basically, you're a liability to this company. You know, we're working you knowing you have a back condition. And that can come back on us, you know." So he said, "You know, I'm giving you a week off. And if you're not better in that week, don't bother coming back." And we were, you know, barely making it by as it was. You know, young men, you understand when you get a family, the responsibility that's laid upon your shoulders to provide for your family, to be there for your family. And I felt that in my heart. You know, how will I provide? You know, I'm not so smart, you know, but I knew what I knew, and I was trying to trust in God. And I went that week and had some pains in it. But that Sunday night, the Lord used my wife. I thank God for a good help me. Young people, it's good and it's important for you to find a good help me that will strengthen you, that will encourage you when you're not so up. And, the Lord used her. And I thank God for it. She said, "Why do you got to even be in pain?" So why do you got to even be in pain? Why are you dreading this? You know, it was almost like a slap in the face. And, you know, I went that Monday with a belief in God. I didn't feel any pain that Monday. And so I was like, "Lord, thank you." I called it my first day of miracle. So I went that Tuesday. I didn't feel any pain. And Wednesday and Thursday, I finished that week, no pain. You know how we are sometimes. I said, "Lord, I want to know if you've just touched me or if you've healed me." So I took it upon myself to do some hard labor.
I didn't feel any pain. I said, Lord, I know of a surety that you filled me. You know, and when anything comes in to doubt that, I just say, God, I know you filled me. And he has. And I've been able to do much harder work than I was doing before. Thank God that I'm able to provide for my family. And that was important to me. That's important to me, to be able to be there for my family. To be able to provide. You know, we're not always able to do that. But, you know, God, not always in the way we be befitting to us sometimes, but God always makes a way. You know, he don't always do it that way. But I'm thankful that he did. You know, I'm appreciative for the love of God's people. It's been so great. It's been so great, the love of God's people. You know, I visit a lot of other churches, try to touch people, try to work with people. And it just makes me appreciate where I'm at that much more. I'm not looking for another people. I found God's people. He's given me a vision. He's given me a foundation to stand on. And I'm thankful for the teachings and the doctrines of the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we vary a little bit in our finer beliefs. But, you know, we're the same people. We're the same people. You know, but one day we'll walk on streets of gold. You know, and it's referring to the gold as truth. But that gold was transparent. There wasn't any untruth in it. But it was pure. You could see through it. And I look forward to being able to know everything, every truth that was written in this book, to understand it all. You know, we can sometimes connect a piece here, but we have that little missing piece that we have to wait on. We have to keep buying and keep buying and keep buying, waiting and being patient, because the Word of God is precious. God compared it to gold. You know, because gold is so precious, so precious. So I want to endeavor to allow it to yield fruit in my life. And I'm just thankful to be here. I ain't going to take time. But I want to encourage you today, you know, those that are seeking a spouse, those that are seeking that special someone in their life to cause them to go further on in God. You know, look hard. Look at the people that are up front worshiping God. Look at the people that are dedicating their life, that are paying attention to the service, that are listening on the edge of their seat for something to be planted in their soul. You know, because there'll be times when things are hard. Paul said, you know, you'll have trouble in the flesh. There'll be things that you go through that are hard. But you want someone that's there on God's side. You want someone there that's going to sell out for God whether you do or not. You know, but we don't want to bring our spouse down. We want to go on ourselves too. I'm just thankful to be here today. I'll end on a lighter note. You know, young people, young men, you know, as you're seeking for that number one, I got some bad news. I already got number one. You can find number two. I found the best one there was. Amen. So I'm thankful to be here today.
Amen. I'm nervous and hoarse, but here I am, Lord. My name is Tori Zimmerman, and I'm from the church in Houston, Texas. And I find kind of a privilege here to be in Little Rock, Arkansas today. Good friend Andrew Smith sitting next to me. He told me a while back that him and his wife Brittany are the youth leaders here, and Brittany's like family to me. Her grandparents pretty much adopted me. I got to travel out with them to Dallas, and yeah, I kind of privileged to see him here. That God's using them and providing a youth group, and to be in this setting in this meeting. I think the Lord's behind them. I don't want to say I'm behind them, supporting them, anything they ever need. I'm here for them. And whatever help I can be, I may not be much help, but I want to do what I can. I really appreciate what Brother Justin Beck was talking about. Lord's really, really pricking my mind about different ways the Lord heals. It's not so much the Lord always heals necessarily with the body, but there's also, it talks about in several passages, that the Lord heals us of our sins, and that's the most important healing. I know recently with friends and myself that sometimes, appreciate that. That with friends and things that you see the enemy is really trying to take a hold and pull us apart. But that's why we're here together today, to be joined together. And I'd kind of like to start out in Psalms 41:4 if you have your Bibles. Pardon me, I'm nervous. It's 41:4 that I'm looking for. All right. Give everybody a chance to flip over there. Now, the book of Psalms, all of these have been written as songs that David sung to the Lord. And David really had a heart for the Lord, always trying to get as close as he could to him. And he said, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Now, he's asking the Lord, heal my soul. Now, what Brother Justin Beck received of the healing of the body is an absolutely marvelous thing. It is a marvelous thing to be healed, I know firsthand. I know I have worn out our church youth group with talking about my story and some other friends. Actually, 4 years ago, I had the opportunity to stand here, talk about how the Lord healed me. And 4 years later, I'm still here. And I appreciate it for that. At the age of 13, I had started getting a lot of migraines, and wouldn't go away. I'd black out, didn't know where I was going. It kind of blind me. And went and saw different doctors. Brother Justin, I'm talking about with all the different tests they run on you. I had pins and needles, things attached to me. I didn't know what I was about. I was pretty knowledgeable about what they were doing by the time I was done. Everything tested normal. But you don't understand. This isn't supposed to happen. They keep telling me I'm normal. This isn't normal. This is not what's supposed to happen. Well, I'd finally started coping with the fact that, you know, I'm going to have to deal with this the rest of my life. I'm going to have trouble getting a job because of this. And I started getting down. Now, anybody that's seeking a healing, for me, the problem wasn't knowing that the Lord could heal. It was that, would he heal me? And that troubled me. I'm like, now I know the Lord. I know the Lord could heal Brother Chad Neptune. I know that. You know, but what about me? You know, I'm just someone that, you know, I play my little horn in the band and I do what I can to help the church, but I don't find myself being important. What does the Lord need me for? You know, we could all, these are questions that young people struggle with. I'm saying I'm only 20 years old, but there's a lot of people in here younger than me. You know, I'm a pretty easy person to relate to. I don't feel like I didn't have the paved road of, you know, automatically grew up here. And I mean, I got to grow up here, but I wasn't born into it. But with the headaches, I started getting down on myself thinking, you know, I'm going to have to deal with this the rest of my life. I'd gone down front. I mean, I had plenty of people tell me they felt like the Lord was going to heal me. And, you know, the Lord tested me to find out where my faith was. He didn't let it happen then. I had people, I feel the Lord's going to heal you, and it didn't happen. And that discouraged me. I'm like, well, apparently they didn't feel it right, you know. But one night, see, the Lord will heal you when you least expect it. It'll come at a time where you feel like you've run your last mile. I can't keep up. I can't. This has got me down more than I can handle. I struggled mightily with depression then, and, you know, I didn't know what to do. Well, it was one night, we had someone visiting us from out of town, and he says, I want to go to the church in Orange, Texas. Now, in Houston, that is 2 hours away. And I had helped someone with the garage sale all day. I was beat tired. I was like, it's not my church night. Tomorrow night is my church night. I'll go to church tomorrow night. I'll stay home tonight. My mom said, no, you're not. You're going with me. And so we traveled out there 2 hours. It is not a scenic drive. It is a very boring drive. I was griping and complaining the entire way there about how church night was tomorrow night. Has anybody been there? But as soon as we got there, they had just come back from meeting in Monroe, Brother D.L. Jones' church. And they were kneeling around praying. And all of a sudden, something started working in my spirit. I could feel the Holy Ghost moving in. You know, it talks about healing our stony heart, taking away, making it a heart of flesh. Oh, the Lord started doing an operation there. Oh, I can feel it now. Started doing an operation, working on my heart. The Lord was getting me ready to prepare to receive something. I started praying. Brother Isaac asked, all y'all know Brother Isaac? He does cartwheels. Brother Isaac's a fireball. He was ready. He was asking if anybody needed prayer. And my mom requested prayer for me. She said, Tori's been struggling with headaches for 3 years. And he's like, well, come down. I feel like the Lord can heal you. I'm thinking, I'm sure you do. Oh, it wasn't, but when he touched me, I felt something leave. You know, the Lord healed me. Every once in a while, I get a little reminder. I get a little headache every once in a while. Mind you, I get a little reminder every once in a while of what it used to be like. Lord's keeping me grateful. Now, when he removed it, he healed me, and every once in a while, I get a little reminder that I'm thankful that the Lord healed me. So, Brother Justin, I don't know what that's like. But more than that, sometimes, I know being a college student, and you get busy working, and sometimes you feel yourself slipping. Sometimes you feel like you've gotten away from reading your Bible a little bit. It's little things at a time, and you feel yourself slipping. And you're like, Lord, don't let me slip. That's when the Lord brings you back into him. He says, I haven't forgotten about you. Sometimes you feel what it's like not having him right close by. It makes you so grateful. Sometimes you don't make the right decisions. You know, I've been there. The Lord can heal you of your sins. There's not anything you can do that cuts you off from God unless you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you right now, that is not something as simple as saying, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. It is acting against it. It is something that if you had done it, you would not be here today. I can guarantee you. Every person in here, it doesn't matter what you're going through today. It doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual walk. If you feel like the Lord has left you, you know, there's during that time, I felt like the Lord had left me. I felt like he'd given up on me. I found myself crying at night. Lord, where have you gone? I'm coming to church. I'm not feeling a thing. I don't know what's going on. I feel so far away. I feel alone. Now, in Houston, we have a big youth group. I have great friends. I have the best friends. No one has better friends than I have. I'm just saying that. No one has better friends than I do. But there was something longing in my heart that they couldn't fill. There was something that, even though I had friends all around me, and we were laughing and having a good time, I felt alone. I know that there's people that feel that way today. I know that this youth group, that everybody that's pulling together, that you don't have to feel that way today. That there's an operation working in the Spirit, that you can go home a different person. And I'm just up here saying that as just a routine term that you hear people constantly say, you can leave here different. I'm saying from experience that every youth meeting I've gone to, I've gone home different. I'm saying that every time I've left here, I've gone up higher and not a high for a moment and fall back down. Brother Smith was talking about that last night. We're seeing people that are ready to change their lives. This youth meeting can do that. I don't care how far away you feel like you are today. I'm saying that with as much emphasis as we've put on healing of the body earlier today, I would like to challenge everybody to put a healing on the soul. Amen. I would like to challenge everybody to let the Lord reach deep in the innermost parts and do a healing. Do a working on a circumcision of the heart to remove a stony heart. Oh, how long has it been since you felt the Holy Ghost work? How long has it been since you have been so drunk in the Spirit? That does a marvelous thing. If you feel yourself struggling today, if you feel yourself not knowing where to turn next, if you have questions you don't know what to do, I want to challenge you all to get down here and with all heart, cry out to the Lord to do something for you. Now, I'm convinced, I know that Brother Smith was talking about people that you see, people that are hypocritical in the church to get you down. I challenge you that if you're going on with that, to be so convinced about the Lord that nothing can change you. Now, I had the opportunity to go to Seattle, Washington a couple weeks ago. For those of you that don't know, whenever I was 7 years old, my father left my mother. He had drug problems, abuse problems. He had mental problems. And he ended up taking his life. And my family back there, his side of the family, his mom and his sisters and his brothers, his brother, they really blame my mom for it. And for the past 13 years, I really haven't had much of a relationship with them. And my grandparents called me. They don't call me very often. I rarely hear from them. I get $5 in the mail for my birthday every year. You know, I kind of hope it would go up with the economy changing and getting older and expenses going up. Nope. But anyways, I got a call from them. And they said, we're having a 50th wedding anniversary. We want you to be there. And I gave them the runaround about how I wasn't going to be able to make it, didn't know if I'd get off of work, couldn't afford it. Gave him every runaround in the book. She calls me the next day, says, we have purchased your plane tickets to come here. You will be leaving out Thursday at 8 o'clock in the morning for Seattle. And it is non-refundable, so we really hope you can make it. What do you say to that? I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what's supposed to become of this. I didn't know what was going on. But I said, Lord, I'm open-minded to whatever I can do. And so I get there. And while I was riding with my aunt, it was my aunt that she's had the hardest time with it. Mind you that there's people that when unforgiveness gets in their heart, it creates a root of bitterness. What is it? It's Hebrews 15:11. Let's flip there real quick. Not 15:11, 12:11. There's not even 15 chapters in there. Or it's not 11. It is 12 and 5. Well, we'll start off.